You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
Well, now you can officially say the football season is over. 5 weeks after the college season ended, the pro season is gone. We say hello to you to begin the middle of February. Thanks so much for being a part of the program. A lot to do today. Let's get right to it. And the SEC and the Super Bowl, it seems like the SEC is everywhere these days, but a lot of stars on display, of course, none bigger than Jalen Hurts. What an evening he had. Devontae Smith, not bad either. Tony, big play, one of the biggest plays in the game, a 65-yarder, Super Bowl record. Nick Bolton with the fumble recovery. So the Missouri player there making large. It was a big weekend. It was a big weekend, obviously, for everyone, as the new champions are the Kansas City Chiefs. In a prelude to the Super Bowl, a Super Bowl matchup, undefeated SEC teams meeting in Columbia, 18,000 strong national television, and it was over quickly. South Carolina humbling number 3 LSU in the battle of the unbeatens. And of course, it was Dawn wearing the Randall Cunningham jersey. And how about this headline from the New York Post? Am I reading this correctly? Calipari's fastball looks gone, with Kentucky in danger of missing March Madness. They lost by 7 on the road against Georgia over the weekend. And where have I seen this movie before? Alabama number 1 in America. In basketball, it's been 20 years. And they only spent 1 week at the top. Hopefully they'll do better this time around. The Tide with a huge win on the road against Auburn. And Tennessee, in spite of losing, now how about this, 2 consecutive games at the buzzer to a 3-pointer, they're still in the top 10. Tennessee travels to Alabama. They'll be happy if that game comes down to a 3-pointer on Wednesday night. What about Coach Prime? Haven't heard from him in a while. Is he now a weatherman out in Colorado?
Apparently.
It's really not that cold, he said. I don't know about that, Dion. I've been to Boulder in the wintertime. Texas OU, this was our big story on Friday when we talked to Chris Del Conte, the AD at Texas, and the commissioner, Greg Sankey. It will be expensive to make the move, but many people feel like it is worth it. And that will be one of our topics with our first guest of the afternoon, Barrett Salee. Barrett, thanks so much for your time. Good afternoon. And tell us your initial thoughts on what it means that OU and Texas are now going to be ready for SEC play in 24.
Hey, Paul, thanks for having me. I think that it's sort of the culmination of some jockeying for position. I think that, you know, kind of when this whole thing started, I think that it was almost like there was, you know, it was a divorced couple that were still living together in the Big 12. And, you know, they didn't want that. The SEC didn't want that. And finally, they figured a way to work it out. I think, obviously, Oklahoma and Texas want the SEC money. And I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens in the new era. I think there's this idea out there that Texas and Oklahoma are just going to come in and you know, get this rude awakening. And maybe that happens when they go up against the big dogs. But, you know, if you're going up against some of these middling SEC teams, I mean, Texas and Oklahoma are going to have chances to make an impact early. So I'm excited to see it. I think that when all is said and done, this will be a new era in the SEC that I think is is far different than it was, when Missouri and Texas A&M got the invitation. This is going to change the landscape, much more in a way that's similar to when Roy Kramer divided them up into East and West in the SEC championship game before.
Barrett, we're obviously about to go through a number of changes, but before we get to what the league is going to look like, Texas and Oklahoma have struggled a little bit lately. Oklahoma has been on a roll until recently. What do you think both programs are going to look like as we start looking ahead? Even this year with Brent Venables at Oklahoma and Sarkisian in his third year in Austin.
I think Texas is going to be able to compete with, the middle of the pack, maybe upper middle of the pack in the SEC, because it has gone about its business as an SEC program the last couple of years in terms of what it does in the recruiting trail. And that's different than maybe the Texas program in years past, when it was almost all skill position players. They never really found a need to get big on both sides of the line of scrimmage. And clearly that is something that Steve Sarkisian recognizes, mostly from his time in the SEC, and is making a concerted effort to fix. I think Oklahoma, the jury for me is still out on Oklahoma. Yeah, they've had the more recent success, and they've done it consistently up until last year. And 6-7 is not okay at Oklahoma, ever. It's just not. And for Brent Venables, I think it raises the question, is he more just a coordinator than a head coach? And I think right now, the jury is very much still out, and I think if you want to make a determination right now, the answer is, yeah, he is more of a coordinator than a coach. And maybe, there was a reason that he stayed as an assistant for so long, even when programs were coming after him. So I think for Oklahoma, I still have massive concerns, because the step back wasn't just a step back. It was a giant leap backwards this past year, and to me that makes it really unlikely that they hit the ground running in the SEC.
Barrett Salee with us talking about the emergence now of Oklahoma and Texas in the SEC. Barrett, let's put pause on that for a moment and look ahead to the upcoming season. We're getting closer now with the Super Bowl out of the way, spring football just around the corner. Everyone just seems to have already ticketed Georgia as the predominant favorite, and some are even putting LSU ahead of Alabama on the west side. We haven't talked to you since the end of the season. What do you think is going on, especially on the west side of the ledger?
Yeah, I mean, first for the east, Georgia would be floored if they don't win the division. The schedule on top of the talent is just—it's unlikely that they don't finish the repeat in terms of winning the division. I think for LSU and Alabama, it is very interesting, because I think the knee-jerk reaction is to say, oh, yeah, Alabama, it's Alabama. They're going to get back on top. Okay, I understand that in the past they've earned the benefit of the doubt, and to some extent they probably still deserve the benefit of the doubt. But we've seen the offensive line regress over the last couple of years. We've seen, I think, Nick Saban swing the pendulum too far into the direction of putting everything on his quarterback, and now clearly with what he's trying to do with his coordinators, swinging it back to the middle a little bit. We'll see if he can actually do that, and I think that might help the offensive line fix itself after what were two terrible years. But I think for LSU, the momentum's on its side. Jaden Daniels, you go back and look at the month of September, he was a runner, but he was just a below average passer, and the light switch got flipped, and you saw what kind of player he could be, and in some cases, a lot of us were waiting for since the moment he stepped foot on Arizona State's campus. And then on top of that, they've hit the transfer portal hard. They've got another year of development. They've got a taste of what it takes to win. And Brian Kelly, I said on your show, from the moment he got hired, I said that he will win a national championship at LSU, and it might take a while. And maybe it will still take a while. But the momentum is going in the right direction. So to sort of take a long-winded answer and summarize it, yeah, I would still probably say that Alabama's more likely to win the division, but I in no way, shape, or form think it should be assumed or, you know, be one of those default answers like we've seen in basically the last decade where everyone just sort of kind of goes on, oh, it's Alabama. Okay, who's number two? That's not what it should be like this year.
Barrett, it's always a little bit difficult for people to evaluate Alabama because just when you think they're slipping, they come in with a record recruiting class. And, of course, it is Nick Saban. But how would you, to further your point a minute ago, analyze where Alabama is right now and what it looks like moving forward?
Yeah, you know, I think, like I said, I think it's still sort of trying to find its way in this era. I think for good reason, or at least a good reason at the time, the quarterbacks got a ton of the responsibility. It became a quarterback-driven offense. It became a pass to set up the run offense. You know, Jalen had his limitations, and then when Tua came on, it was like, oh, okay, you know, Heisman Trophy caliber quarterback, let's go almost completely air raid over the last couple of years. And that didn't work, and it led to more problems than it did solutions. And I think Nick realizes, okay, that's not where the new era is going. Maybe swing it back to not necessarily pro style, but, you know, more of a ground and pound mentality. Because it seemed like with what Alabama was trying to do, it was trying to hit the home run on the ground. And that's it. That was the only goal for its ground game. And that's not what really needs to happen in this day and age. And I think Nick is recognizing that, but it's still – you know, he's sort of navigating through a forest that is, you know, still, you know, it's still difficult for him to sort of find the right path. And I think he will. I think he has. But I think there's reason to at least question if this is going to work. And as far as, you know, the future of it long term, you know, Nick's got to do this quickly. I mean, he is getting up there in age. I know his contract is, you know, for another 5-6 years, whatever it is, but he's getting up there in age, and he's got to get it on the right path to send him out on top, but also set up the program for sustained success, you know, when he does move on.
Barrett, quickly, before you go, there are a few people that are saying Jimbo Fisher just needs a good season now. We're no longer even talking about national championships, which this seemed to be the year going back two or three that he would finally make that run. What do you see for them in the upcoming season?
Well, a good season for Texas A&M at this point is 8-4. An unrealistic season is 10 wins. So I think for Texas A&M, it's just to at least show any sign of improvement, because it was clear that recruiting class from last season wanted to get the bag and move on. The offense, I think it's clear that they've made a concerted effort to tell him to take his hands off the steering wheel. Doubt that happens. Then he's got this extremely bizarre relationship now with his offensive coordinator, Petrino. I don't know how that's going to work out. And so, yeah, I think at some point Jimbo's going to have to show that he is a championship-caliber coach. I think right now it's clear that he is an average to slightly above average coach who caught lightning in a bottle with a generational college quarterback in Jameis Winston. And that has changed the expectations for him. I think it elevated the expectations for him. That's why he got the big contract at Texas A&M. And I just, right now, just getting back to being an average to slightly above average head coach, sadly enough for Texas A&M, would show progress.
We've obviously talked about Georgia, LSU, Alabama, and now A&M, and I realize I've moved four schools off the board, which leaves, of course, eight left. Of the remaining that we haven't talked about, and our final question to you, which school are you most intrigued by, either positively or negatively, in the upcoming season?
Tennessee is fascinating to me, just because they lose a Heisman-caliber quarterback, one of the best receivers in the country, but they also have a pedigree now of success. It wasn't just Butch Jones is a cute little story. Tennessee's kind of flirting around the top 25, top 15. That's cool. No, they were the number one team in the country. That is a much different world that Josh Heupel led that program to. And I want to know what happens when he suffers significant roster turnover, because from the positions that matter most, he has that. great coaches or even good coaches figure out quickly how to withstand that roster turn. If he's able to at least keep Tennessee, just that is a sign that Tennessee is growing in a big way. I think, you know, there's this idea that you have to show, you know, wins and losses to show whether you're improved or not. If Tennessee is a 9 or 10 win team, that shows stability. And stability in Knoxville is something they've been craving. And if Josh can do that, then it's clear to me that the program is certainly going to contend with Georgia. Might take a while because they still got to get the depth and the personnel and everything, but it will show that Josh Heupel is the right man for the job. I think he is anyway, but it will further solidify that.
Some great stuff. Barrett Slee, CBS Sports. Always enjoy the conversation with him. We head to the break. Your phone call is around the corner as we have a long way to go here on a Monday afternoon.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Sid Golden, who writes a column in Austin, will join us. Dawn Staley, off of one of the bigger wins of the year. That could be any win lately with UConn and now LSU. Mickey DeMoss, former top assistant under Pat Summitt, talking about the upcoming documentary tonight on the SEC Network. And we send out our deepest condolences to the entire Tennessee family. One of, sometimes this is overused, but in this case, it is underused. One of the great legends in Tennessee athletics history, Gus Manning, passing away. He was 99. He took Tennessee history back to the general for whom he worked, spent 50 years in that athletic department in every imaginable capacity, and retired and really never left because of the love that all of us who have met him over the years had. And truly one of the seminal figures in Tennessee and SEC history, Gus Manning, passing away at 99 years old. And I remember talking to Chris Lowe a couple years ago. He said he used to go see Gus all the time, and he couldn't drop by late in the afternoon, though, because Gus had to catch up on the SEC news right here. Let's go to Dennis in Missouri. Hey, Dennis, go right ahead.
Well, thank you, Paul. I've got to tell you, I've never been to prison, but on occasion, the wife and I will play escape convict and the warden's wife, and that's as close as I've ever been.
You'll have to email me about that game.
Hey, it was a great weekend. Just like me, you were a Kentucky fan or a Tennessee fan, and that Tennessee game, that was like the ending of a movie.
except it was so similar to what had happened at Vanderbilt. Tennessee's on the line, something crazy happens, and then with under a second left. I mean, it's truly remarkable how that could happen two games in a row.
I know, and Kentucky, Lenardi had us in the back of the plane. I think the day he's handing out the parachute saying, enjoy your trip.
Yeah, no, Kentucky is now off the bubble, and that's to be expected. And I think the problem that John Calipari has now is Dan Wokin called for his head the other day in USA Today, and then you saw the headline from the New York Post. Once that drip starts coming down, it's like blood in the water for a shark.
Oh, there's a lot of my friends are at home. I mean, they're all ready for somebody new. And like I was telling them the other day, this NIL and the transfer portal, I mean, look at what Alabama's got now. If we had Miller on the Kentucky team, I mean, good gosh. All these SEC schools now, they're doing good with the NIL and the transfer portal. It's not – I still like Cal, but, I mean, they found a way to shut Oscar down some of these teams.
No, you're right. Well, Dennis, thank you. No, it's with John Calipari, I will maintain hope for him until the final moment of the season in Nashville. But he had recovered from the bad start, beat Tennessee, got on a roll, lost to Kansas, and then the Arkansas game and this game have really put them in an impossible position, especially when you consider their schedule. They have road games at Arkansas and Mississippi State. I think Florida as well. They have Auburn and Tennessee at home. It's a rough finish for them. Hugh is in North Carolina. Hello, Hugh, in Deep Gap.
Hi, Paul. Couple of things real quick about the basketball scene. It's been a downhill slide for John for the last 7 years. You got to tell it for what it is. He's had three really strong teams. 2012 with the best shot blocker that college basketball's ever seen in Anthony Davis. In 2014, they were runners-up to Connecticut,
right.
And he had a kid on that team Willie Cauley-Stein that could block anybody. And then the best team that Kentucky ever put on the floor in 15, he had Karl Anthony Towns scoring and Willie Cauley. When you have that kind of rim protection in the paint, you can get away with weak fundamental skills in man-to-man defense. You cannot do it with the fishnet he's got right now. It's fundamental, and the truth is the game has passed Cal by. And I would hate to have to be a gnat on the wall when the AD and the president have a hard meeting with him come spring. But that's not really why I wanted to call you. A postmortem on football, I think it was an absolute wonderful view of it yesterday. Football games are determined by the quality of the play at the line of scrimmage. And that goes for the Southeastern Conference for high school and pro football. The truth is, the Kansas City Chiefs dominated the Philadelphia Eagles on the line of scrimmage in the second half of that game. And when you get right down to trying to figure out why Alabama didn't have a great year and how they wound up losing a couple and having a couple way too close, you got to look at how poor their offensive line play was. There's some reasons for that. They decided to pick up a new offensive line coordinator, a fellow named Eric Walford from Kentucky. We were glad to see him go. He did nothing to develop talent. And we paid one hell of a price for that last year. I do believe, unless the new coordinator replaces him, Alabama's going to be in for a tough year. And while we're talking about offensive line play and the line of scrimmage, let's review the bidding about how Georgia's season wound up. Next to the last game was in Lexington. It was an NFL day. 35 degrees, and the wind blowing 35 miles an hour. Georgia had the ball in the red zone six times. They got one touchdown, three field goals, and two turnovers on downs. That is not the stuff the championship teams are made out of. But I will say this about Kirby Smart. He does a better job of developing young talent and putting them on the field and give them experience. So his line play will be what will bail them out this year if they have a great year. Paul, I guess it's awful easy to tie bows around stuff and oversimplify, but I'm as certain as I'm sitting in a chair here at this table that most teams that win in football games do so by controlling the line of scrimmage. And as long as their skill people don't throw the ball away with silly fumbles and interceptions, whoever plays the best on the line of scrimmage will generally win. That's it, Paul. I've got nothing else.
Well done, Hugh. Excellent points. Nailed it. Let's take a break. A lot happening already here in the opening 30 minutes. Mentioned Dawn Staley a little bit later on. Said Golden, and we are coming right back.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We're back, and Jason is up next as we say hello to him from Kentucky. Hey, Jason.
Hey, Paul.
Good afternoon.
I got a question. I know Calipari, he's going through some stuff with this squad he's got now. My question is, do you think he's in the hot seat now? Do you think that there's any way he can pull anything out of the rest of this season?
Well, I think the odds are getting slimmer because I remember I'm trying to remember how many games he had left. I think he had six games left.
Yeah.
And the one he lost on Saturday was a must win. So you start doing the math. He can't split. I mean, he has to almost go 5-1, I think, or in these remaining games, or maybe 4-2. And can he do that? I think it. You know, winning at Mississippi State, he's got State and Arkansas and Florida on the road. That's just on the, those are the Auburn and Tennessee at home, and I think I'm missing maybe one in there. Vanderbilt at home. I mean, there's almost no room for error. I don't think he's beating Tennessee again. That's going to be one of the revenge games of the year. Auburn is a toss-up. I dare say he'll be an underdog tomorrow night, maybe, or an even game, Arkansas. So, you know, if he loses two of those games, I mean, he could lose tomorrow night and suddenly almost have no room for error. So, I mean, tomorrow night's a must-win. That's the understatement of the year. Hey, thanks so much for the call. Let's check in with John in Louisville. Hey, John.
Hey, I think Hugh already put the nails in the coffin with Calipari, don't you?
Well, the only thing I don't know, John, in terms of what Hugh said or anybody else is, whether Kentucky is really whether they really have the appetite to get rid of him. I still find it hard to believe that they will.
You mean the money?
Well, yeah.
I mean,
by the way, there's more to it than just spending $40 million. You better have a replacement that galvanizes the fan base. And who is that, by the way?
Well, we're still looking. Hey, I thought I'm not sure if Hugh's not a better football analyst than the basketball analyst. He really laid it out today, didn't he?
He made a lot of sense.
And I enjoyed the Barrett interview. A theme that always comes out with Texas A&M is with Barrett is that did Jimbo win with a generational quarterback, or did he win because he had a generational quarterback?
Well, I think, by the way, not only did he have a generational quarterback, he had a really good defense out there, too, led by Kevin Steele. And I, let me correct myself, he did, not Kevin Steele, who was Jeremy Pruitt. And I, frankly, think that the bar has been lowered so much in College Station that Jimbo Fisher can't help but exceed expectations now.
Right, and the bigger question is, what's he do with his hands this season? He won't be carrying that New York Times Sunday edition.
I don't know. Something tells me, John, he's still going to be part of the play-calling process.
Hey, Paul, what were your takeaways from the Super Bowl and any commercials that resonated with you yesterday?
I thought, interestingly, the Jesus commercial was quite stunning.
Several of them.
The Caddyshack commercial was funny.
Except for Tony.
Well, yeah. But it was still, you couldn't help but appreciate what they were attempting to do. Some of them were just so vanilla that I'm not even sure I could remember.
Right, it's hard to believe they'd spend $3 million on 30 seconds.
I totally agree on that.
I thought the game itself, I thought, you know, at coming into halftime with the injury, I thought all the gods have shown themselves toward Philly again. I mean, remember the week or 2 weeks before, the number 4 and 5 quarterbacks went out for San Francisco. I was amazed at the comeback by Kansas City.
Yeah, I would just like to have him get an interview with the trainer from KC and find out exactly what the – because there's only – by the way, everybody thinks you just go shoot the quarterback up, but you can't shoot him up too much for him to be – I mean, he was running very, very well. So what exactly did they do?
It was amazing because I thought he wasn't going back in the game.
Well, I thought he could go back, but he couldn't move. And it was like they just did some magic back there. Maybe they had a voodoo doctor. I'm not sure. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. William is in Augusta. Hello, William.
Yes, Paul. Want to thank you again. I've been laid aside for the last month and a half, and you really give me something to look forward to every
day
at 3 o'clock.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to hear you.
I really look forward to it. Hopefully I'll be able to walk again in the next week. But anyway, I wanted to take exception with you. I want to disagree with you, but I do not want to be disagreeable because I respect you too much. I want to take the opposite opinion that you have and almost all of your callers on Gary Danielson.
That's fair.
I really think that he's one of the best analysts, if not the best analyst I've ever heard in my life. And I'll give you examples of it. I'll be watching a game, and the referee will throw a flag. And I'll say, what in the world happened? I'll be looking, and he'll say, that defensive back on this other side of the field held. And I hadn't spotted it, but he can spot those kind of things. That's just one example, but I really enjoy the guy.
Well, William, I will say this about Gary. He doesn't, unlike a lot of people, he doesn't sugarcoat it, and that's what irritates me. I heard somebody last night talk about a call saying, I don't love that call. That's backing into an analysis. Lay it out. If you don't like the call, say, I don't like the call. Don't play 16-year-old high school games with the audience. There's too many people watching.
Yeah. And my other question, along with that, it's kind of an ancillary question. Now he only has one more year. I'm correct.
That
right?
is correct.
One more year.
Yes. One more.
Okay. Now this is not going to make you please you at all when I ask you this. Is there a chance, do you think, that ESPN might hire Brad Nessler and Gary Danielson to do games on ESPN?
No.
Okay. All right. Okay. I'm going to take that as gospel.
By the way,
so I'll just have to.
By the way, I don't think there's any question. And Brad used to work at ESPN. He left.
Yes.
To go to. And I think he's very good. What I think they're going to end up probably doing one of the Big Ten packages that CBS bought.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Well, I'm guessing here, I'm just thinking about all the people that ESPN already has employed, which led me to that rather brief answer.
Right. They do have a lot of people. Thank you so much, Paul.
They most certainly. Okay. Thank you. I think some of the stuff that's said about Gary Danielson is almost just it is overdone. And I am going to make a vow for Gary's final year at CBS not to mention his name again. We'll be right back after this.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we welcome you back as we continue to celebrate Black History Month. Let's continue with more calls. And Matt is up next.
Hey, brother. How you doing, Mr. Paul Feinbaum? You look good today. I have a beef with AJ before we talk about the other thing. AJ, shut your pathetic excuse of a mouth of yours. You're not good enough to take me on in a full feud. If you want to, look at those Trump. You have half a brain. You know, you pathetic little loser like Jim when you want to cry out back home to your nurse get his diaper changed. You want to take me on that phone, too, AJ? You know where I am. I'll kick your butt and I'll enjoy every minute of it. And Paul, look, I don't agree with your analyst. He got on the show. What was his name? Look, I don't think we're going to go 8-4 this year. Can I give you my reasons?
So you're talking about Barrett Salee, yeah. Let's check in with Dustin in Tulsa. Hey, Dustin.
Hey, good morning from Tulsa, Paul. Well, how do I follow a call like that, man?
Easily.
Have you ever noticed, this is something I found kind of funny, Matt doesn't really care for Jim, but his style of calling, tempo, pace, tone, is almost exactly the same. I mean, he just starts like a bullet out of a gun.
He doesn't take a lot of breath between his words.
He definitely does not. Well, man, I wanted to call in and talk some trash to legend, tell him that we got Nick Smith back, that the Razorbacks were coming down to Alabama. And then we went out and laid an egg on our home court against Mississippi State. I mean, the way they played over the weekend, I don't even know if they deserve to be a tournament team after that. That was pretty rough.
I would have to say, there were a lot of shockers over the weekend, but that was – way in the realm of most disappointing loss, because Arkansas looks like a tournament team. They played like one, and then they Mississippi State has come a long way, but that will hurt them and haunt them.
Yeah, it was not great, not at all. Let's see here, I'm trying to think. Oh, thought about this over the weekend. Have you got time for the story of how I met Barry Switzer?
Sure.
Okay, so this is kind of heartening. I used to work years ago in a very expensive, kind of a high-end sort of steakhouse here in Tulsa, and Coach Switzer from time to time was a guest of ours. I've never seen like a celebrity like that. I mean, it must have been kind of akin to what it must have been like for Bear Bryant. I mean, the man just could not get through a single bite of his dinner with people stopping and asking for autographs or take pictures or, hey, can I introduce you to my kid? It was like the man was royalty. And I was behind the bar, and I slid up next to him, and I mentioned to him that I'm a Razorback, but that my grandmother loved him and thought he hung the moon. And he said, well, we won't hold that against you. You know, I started at Arkansas, and we kind of had a little bit of a conversation. And I told him how much my grandmother thought of him, and he said, well, he said, on the way out, he goes, let's get a picture together so you can show your grandma. And I didn't have the heart to tell him that she'd passed away several years ago.
I mean, by the way, I'm not laughing at your grandmother dying.
Yeah, I understand completely. So I'm thinking, well, he'll forget about that. He'll go on with this evening. 3 hours later, from across the lounge and the bar there at the front of the restaurant, I hear my name yelled, like bellowed, and it's Coach Switzer. He's going, Dustin, he's waving me over. I said, yes, Coach. I run over there. He goes, hey, let's get that picture for your grandma. And I just thought, man, 3 hours later, for him to remember that, I still didn't tell him that she'd passed on. I just happily took a picture with him.
Let me tell you this. It could have been a lot worse. He could have said, let's call her. Let's call your grandmother.
That would have been a lot worse. So to say, well, let's hit our knees. We're going to have to pray this one up. But he was very magnanimous, very nice. On another visit, I saw him take two guys that were at least half his age and absolutely mop the floor with them in a push-up contest in the middle of the dining room. If I hadn't seen it with my own two eyes, I wouldn't believe it. But
Barry Switzer came out today questioning Oklahoma's move to the SEC. He legitimate hero for life in the state of Arkansas. We will take a break. We'll talk about Texas and Oklahoma coming into the SEC in a few minutes.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.